哇哇
Chicken Pop Pod. This is Tooncast, episode 58. Brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm your host, TFG and Mike, and today I'm joined once again by Kevin Optimus Solo Thompson. And our special guest for not the second week in a row, but a second episode in the 50s here on Tooncast, Christopher Stapleton from Chicken Pop Pod. Hello, guys.
What's up, buddy?
Oh, the ceiling, thank God. Today we are going to be talking about Alvin and the Chipmunks. There's not really that much going on, so I'm just going to get right into this. And I know Kevin doesn't have a script, because...
No, I got it for this. I got your history lesson.
How fucking time you did some work on this show.
Class is in session. I got things. Basically, this is the extended history lesson. It's going to be long, but probably the longest one I've done on Tooncast, but bear with me. But basically, we're going all the way back to 1954 with a guy named Ross Bagdasarian Sr. And basically, at the time, he was a struggling actor slash kind of dabbled in different things. If you're a Hitchcock fan, you might have seen him. He played the struggling songwriter in the 1954 classic Rear Window. But basically, Mr. Bagdasarian was at the point where he was ready to chuck it all in and you know, give up on his dream. He decided to give it one more go. He changed his professional name to, you might recognize this, David Seville. He had basically a little dialect ditty titled Come On to My House that he penned for Rosemary Clooney in the early 50s. It became a top 10 hit. And basically convinced him that his future lay in novelty songs, which led to him basically putting every dime he had of his savings into a home tape recording unit. In 1957, the composer's Witch Doctor, which hopefully you're familiar with, basically turned into another smash. And obviously part of the charm of Witch Doctor is that he was experimenting with speeded up, that always sounds weird, but sped up voices, accomplished by recording at 16 RPMs and replaying at 33 and a third. One thing led to another, including him basically recording multiple tracks of his own voice to create a harmony in this sped-up version. And credit his kids, though, for saving us, because it was the songwriter's children who suggested that the high-pitched results sounded like a bunch of singing chipmunks, which influenced him to call them chipmunks instead of his original idea, which was the butterflies.
You there?
I think we lost Kevin.
Oh, man. Yep, call dropped. Okay, so, well, we're still recording, but,
Hi, this is Kevin Thompson. I can't come to the phone right now.
Motherfucker. I don't fucking believe this. Answer your goddamn phone, you fucktard.
Hi, this is Kevin Thompson. I can't come to the phone right now. but if you'll leave me a name and...
God damn it. I almost got to call him. Where's his damn number? Let's try this one more time before I do that. I bet his battery went dead.
Him.
Yeah, you dropped.
Yeah, I've never had that happen before.
I have no clue, because we were here this all the whole time. Where did you leave off? Do you remember?
I thought I said something about the butterflies, but I don't know if that got over or not.
I'll have to check it in the editing. Why don't you take it from the top of that, though?
Take it from the whole top of the history lesson?
No. From the top of the butterfly thing.
I think if you went back to where, you know, the kids thought of
okay.
Yeah.
All right. You just started it right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Basically, we can thank his children because it was the songwriter's children who suggested that the high-pitched result sounded like a bunch of singing chipmunks, which influenced him to call them chipmunks instead of what he originally was going to go with, which would have been the butterflies. Thank God for his kids. Basically, that led to some more songs, and Alvin and the Chipmunks were launched on a career which would reach 38 million sales, 11 gold records, and 5 Grammy Awards. So what do you do next? Well, of course, you try to make a cartoon out of it. And that was basically in the early 60s when we had a cartoon called The Alvin Show, which obviously was not as successful as what we are covering today, which is Alvin and the Chipmunks. But Alvin and the Chipmunks actually can credit not Ross Bagdasarian Sr., but his son, who basically after the Sr.'s death gave up his career in law and took it upon himself in 1977 to revitalize the Chipmunks. Most people were skeptical, and he had trouble finding people to back him up, but luckily he found two people that were pretty key people to back him up. One was NBC TV head Fred Silverman, and the other was an actress-singer named Janice Carmen, who basically had formed a production company with Bagdasarian Jr. and ultimately became his wife, as well as voicing half of the voices on Alvin and the Chipmunks. Other than that, we had basically A Chipmunk Christmas, which was a special that aired in 1981, which led to the ultimate Alvin and the Chipmunk series in 1983. Some changes that went along with it. Chuck Jones redrafted the original Chipmunk designs, resulting in a more cuddly appearance. And, of course, Alvin, Simon, and Theodore would no longer sing ballads or folk songs, but would instead reemerge as rock concert artists, as you would expect in the 80s. And then, of course, Janice Carmen created 3 female counterparts to the Chipmunks to make sure that they were equal rights and all that type of stuff, which gave us the Chipettes. Lasted 7 first-run seasons, and, get this, played to an average weekly audience of 10 million people. So that does it for your extended history lesson. Mike, what do you remember about Alvin and the Chipmunks?
The songs. Honestly, I mean, I remember watching the cartoon, but it wasn't... I don't hate Alvin and the Chipmunks at all. I really don't. It's just one of those things where I was busy in the 80s. I didn't have time for 3 chipmunks or 6 chipmunks or whatever. Because I was too busy with He-Man and Voltron and Transformers and Thundercats and Mask.
You should have made time.
What?
You should have made time.
Well, I mean, I've caught like some of the specials and stuff over the years. I'm sure I've caught it in syndication. It's a good show. I've seen episodes of it. It's just, it's not something that's a vivid memory in my mind. Like, you know, if you told me, you know, if you asked me to, you know, reference a G1 Transformers episode, I could do so in a minute. You know, where, you know, Alvin and the Chipmunks, I would actually have to look crap up and actually do work. And I'm a lazy geek and I don't do work.
We know.
Shut up, Kevin. I do more work than you do on this podcast. Anyways, Chris, what about you?
I made time. Thank you very much. I loved it, man. It's a huge part of my childhood. I was the perfect age. I grew up with the Chipmunks, and I absolutely love them. It's a big part of my childhood, lots of memories, and so I'm a big fan still. And it is something I'm brainwashing my daughter to love too. So
yes,
she obsesses over the. Believe me, she obsesses over the Chipmunks.
That's her favorite out of the three.
I don't know that she really has one. She's all over the place, so she loves them equally.
Oh boy. You have a story that we'll bring up a little bit later, probably when we get down to the legacy segment about some Chipmunk merchandise that someone generously sent you.
Yep.
Going into the characters and voice.
I don't care about my damn memories.
Oh, wait. Didn't you already say your damn memories? You know, that extended history lesson kind of threw me off, so. And plus, you know, you like Copper Kid, so there's another strike against you.
Ow.
Ouch. Man. I just wanted to point out, just, you know, as far as memories go, and this is why I said that you should have made time, basically because, I think most of us can agree that you don't really remember much from when you were one and a half, maybe 2 years old. You can't really remember most stuff like that. And I was born in 81, and this show started in 83. So basically, from the time that I was able to remember my childhood, this was on. I mean, this was on from 1983 to 1990 as first run. We're not talking about, like, repeats and stuff like that. We're talking about new shows, new seasons, 83 to 90. So this is basically my entire childhood. It was on at some point, which this is why I think I remember it, because regardless of whether I was a Transformer fan, you know, in the mid-80s, or a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fan in the late 80s, at some point around there, in between this or in between that, this was on. And so I remember big time. I remember I'm a huge music fan as far as, you know, I shouldn't say huge music fan, like, because it makes me sound like I have a lot of CDs and like actual music, but I like cheesy cartoon music and stuff like that. So
Likes the Silverhawks theme, ladies and gentlemen.
He's never going to give up on that. But it's something about their damn voices I just absolutely love. And I don't know, I think they could have done anything in those voices, and I probably would have liked it, but definitely one of my favorite 80s cartoons. There, you can move on now.
Well, you know, it's funny, you say they could do anything with their voices and you would like it. I wonder if there were ever any Thundercats outtakes for Chipmunks.
That'd be funny if they were.
Yeah, it would be very funny. Alright, moving on to the voice actors and characters segment. There's basically three Chipmunks. There's Alvin, Simon, and Theodore. Alvin is the leader, Simon is the tallest brother, Simon is the intelligent realist, and Theodore is the youngest brother. Theodore is the cute, innocent butterball of the group. That's what it says in the thing!
Sorry.
Chris, who did you have, who did you most like out of the three main characters?
Believe it or not, Theodore was the butterball was my favorite. So I actually had Theodore slippers. I called them house shoes, but I get laughed at when I call them that. But that's what I call them. What do you call them? Like, they're slippers. Are you with me?
Yeah.
All right. Whatever.
I get it.
So I had those, and they had his little face, his head. You know, his decapitated melon on the top of your toe there. I had Theodore, a stuffed Theodore, and I remember going to see Alvin and the Chipmunks live, so people in costume. It wasn't on ice, it was on stage, and it was absolutely tremendous, huge part of my childhood, big memory for me, and I got sort of one of those pennant things, so it's Theodore, like, on a dowel rod, and so he's eating grapes, and for whatever reason, he never ate grapes.
No.
So he's trying to lose weight on this one. But I had tons of, you know, Theodore stuff. I was I empathize with him. So there you go.
Wow. If anybody served Butterball Chipmunk at Thanksgiving.
Come on. Next to the Rhinoki.
Yeah. Or the Bumblelion. What about you, Kevin? Out of these first three, who was your favorite, or who did you most relate to?
It had to be Alvin. I don't know. I mean, I could see I like parts of all of them, which is, I think, one of the charms of the show is they all have characteristics that you can relate to, or you knew someone that could relate to you, so it's easy to accept these characters. They seem very real. But I was always kind of a smart-ass, kind of cocky kid when I was growing up, I guess. So I gotta say Alvin was probably my favorite.
See, you know, I kind of agree with you. You know, there's good things about all three of them. So, I don't know. It might just be that I like them as a group when they're doing the whole concert thing more than the individual adventures. But that's just me. And then, of course, there's their female counterparts, the Chipettes. Oh, Christ. The Chipmunks' female counterparts and sometimes off and on girlfriends. You have Brittany, Jeanette, and Eleanor Miller. Brittany is the leader of the Chipettes and Alvin's counterpart. Jeanette is Simon's counterpart, and Eleanor is Theodore's counterpart. Oh, wow. If I get this connection right, Theodore and Eleanor Roosevelt.
Ah.
Oh, damn. I didn't like any of these bitches.
Oh, come on.
I didn't like any of them.
I like them, and I think they did an excellent job of, I mean, it made the cartoon so good that they had this group playing off of the boys and kind of doing their different thing, and even that you had each one paired up, because, you know, kind of you can relate to that as far as, like, when you're getting involved in first relationships, this or that. That being said, you know, I might have been the cocky jackass when I was a kid, but I didn't want my girlfriend to be that. So my favorite girl would have been Jeanette, which was, I believe, the one that was matched up with Simon.
Simon, yeah. I mean, I will agree with you at that point, though, Kevin, as far as, you know, you have to have, you know, them as a group, you know, in line with the boys was all right, but the three of them as individuals, if they had their own show, it would be just virtually panned. No. No. Go ahead. Whoever wants
to go ahead, what? Go ahead, what?
I don't know. Who wants to go next? I don't know.
You're hating on the Chipettes, man. What do you want me to say?
Well, I don't know. Who was your favorite?
Oh, dude. I had a thing for Jeanette. I did, and I don't know why. I don't know if it was kind of the librarian thing or the tussled hair. Yeah, I don't know why, which is a little weird to say.
Sometimes librarians turn into dominatrixes.
I have a thing for a 2 foot tall chipmunk. I don't know. But yeah, no, I was totally into her.
Okay. And then you had David, quote unquote Dave Seville, the chipmunk's adoptive father, songwriter, and manager. Dave's patience is tested nearly every day by Alvin, usually to the point where he yells, "Alvin!" You also had Miss Beatrice Miller, who is the kindly, absent-minded adoptive mother of the Chipettes. Lily, the Chipmunks, Rossini puppy, who they then adopted from the shelter following the death of their original pet, Cookie Chomper III, a kitten. Vinny, the Chipmunks' birth mother. Wow, that's a horrible name.
Hey, I'm a your mama. I'm a Vinny. Come over here, Chipmunks. I'm over here.
Give me two utes. What the hell is a ute?
She lost him in a poker game to Dave Seville. That's what happened.
Wow.
That's the true story.
Okay. Out of the supporting characters here, Kevin, who did you like?
Oh, I mean, I didn't necessarily like any of the supporting characters. I liked the main characters so much. I mean, to me...
I guess Dave would be a main character, and Miller, Beatrice would be a main character, but I mean, outside of the original six.
I don't know, when I think of Dave Seville or Beatrice or whatever, to me, that's the same as the nanny on Muppet Babies. It's the same as, I had another one in my head a second ago, but I can't think of it now, but.
Grammy? Those, or not Grammy, what's her name? Oh, jeez.
And I was thinking of John Arbuckle from Garfield.
Oh.
It, you know, they're kind of like the adult in the, you know, bringing that aspect into the show. But when I was a kid, you know, I didn't focus on Dave at all. I was ready for the Chipmunks and the Chipettes, and, you know, the rest of it kind of just flew over my head, I think. I wasn't ready to be talked to or to take in the adult aspect of the show. So, you know, it's like when you're a kid, you don't, you know, when your parents or whoever's teacher's yelling at you, you kind of just let it go in one ear and not the other, don't you?
Yeah.
But I do think it's interesting that it's kind of off topic, but it just kind of popped in my head. That Theodore is one of those characters that it seems like we can't make up our minds on if a male or a female is going to voice him over the course of his career. Because you had Ross Bagdasarian Sr. do him in the Alvin show, then you have Janice Carmen do him in this, and then in the live action films, you have you have one person providing the voice and one person providing the singing voice, and I think Janice Carmen provided the singing voice and a male provided the speaking voice. So he's just one of those characters that it seems like is all over the place as far as male-female voices, and you don't get that a lot these days, it doesn't seem like. So I just found that interesting.
I think it was Jesse McCartney, wasn't it, in the movie?
Jesse McCartney does the voice, but it must have been something with the rights, because Bagdasarian and Carmen do all the singing voices in both movies,
yeah.
But then they brought in all different actors to do the actual voices.
Right.
So I just thought it was kind of interesting that male and female voice actors have voiced Theodore over the years.
Yes, speaking of the voice actors, we have Ross Bagdasarian Jr. playing Alvin, Simon, Dave, Harry, and other various voices. Janice Carmen as Theodore, Brittany, Jeanette, and Eleanor. Dottie Goodman as Miss Miller. Thomas H. Watkins as Uncle Adventure Lily. Lily the Dog in numerous incidentals. Sherwood Bell was the Chipmunk song vocal artist, and Rainey Hayes was the Chipette song vocal artist. Nancy Cartwright is in this show. She shows up before The Simpsons. I think this is the first cartoon I've seen her in before The Simpsons.
She's also in one other one, and it's... now I'm going to freaking punch myself.
I'll do it. Boom!
God. No, because I just put it up on Behind the Voice Actors, and her voice, you could tell. You could tell it was Bart Simpson before Bart Simpson existed.
Yeah.
I'll try to think of it before the end of the show.
Yeah. And all these other just additional voices are just incidentals. I don't know what else they could have done. And of course, there's one name on here that he can pretty much do anything, so he would be listed as an additional voice, which is Frank Welker. You also have, Peter Cullen.
Imagine that. They both did a show together.
Yeah, exactly. June Foray. Did an additional voice. It's just loaded with
Tresk Neal.
Yeah, Tresk Neal, yeah.
Rick D's wife, Julie McWhorter-Bees.
Yeah, Bill Scott was on this. B.J. Ward. There's just a ton of people that worked on this show, and it was just great. I think Kevin's extended history lesson pretty much was the entire production note. So I'll skip past that, so I don't read shit twice. So going into, oh, you already talked about favorite characters. Who's your all's favorite voice, Kevin, as far as the whatever, like, difference in the voices?
God, it's so hard. I think I like Dave's voice, even though, you know, I like the Chipmunks and the Chipettes as characters. I like Dave's voice kind of as the overlying one. It seemed like it fit really well. Without going back and listening to each one specifically right after the other, it'd be hard for me to pick any of the other ones. I don't know. Chris, what do you think on that one?
I mean, if you ever heard an interview with Ross Bagdasarian, that's Dave. I mean, that's his voice.
Right.
He sounds exactly like Dave Seville. I guess that's kind of like Seth MacFarlane with Brian. I mean, it's just his voice. I like that. I think it's great. He's a great character. I'm gonna be controversial. I'm gonna say Miss Miller. She was crazy. She was loopy. So this old senile woman, I loved the voice acting. I loved the character. She was a blast, especially if you see the Chipmunk Adventure movie. She's a blast. So, yeah.
Wasn't that the movie where they found each other or something? Wasn't that when they introduced the chipmunks to the Chipettes?
No, that...
I don't know, there was some episode. I don't know, cartoon, where at first it was just the three boys, and then there was a two-part episode, or there was an extended episode or something, where the boys meet the girls, and then they go to find something I don't remember.
Yeah, they met the girls during the 80s series.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a couple years into the series, or a year or two.
Okay. So. Let's see, going into the behind-the-scenes segment, as I said before, just to list off some of the directors and writers and stuff, Charles A. Nichols, John Kimball, and Don Spencer were some of the writers. Obviously, Ross Bagdasarian Jr. was a director. I don't recognize anybody else other than that. Oh, Bez Dixon. So there we go. He wrote on Transformers and G.I. Joe, which Transformers is better than G.I. Joe.
You're crazy.
No, I'm not.
You're Miss Miller crazy.
No, I'm not. All right. Going into the actual show, as far as the actual network run, the series made its debut on September 17th, 1983 on NBC, originally under the name Alvin and the Chipmunks. It was animated by Ruby Spears Productions, beginning with 1988-89 season. The series was renamed to simply The Chipmunks, and produced switched to Deke Enterprises for the remainder of the series run, with the exception of five episodes produced for the syndication package by Mark Holly / Wolf Swenson, which aired on NBC in fall of 1988, and the 1988 Writers Guild of America strike caused production on the Deke episodes to be delayed. There was a writer's strike in 88? Wow.
Yep, there was.
It's kind of hard to believe that Roger Rabbit got done. let's see. For its final season in 1990, the series was renamed again, this time The Chipmunks Go to the Movies, as all the episodes in this season are spoofs of popular Hollywood movies. Chris, remind us what the basic plot of each episode was. Wasn't it just Alvin getting in trouble and then they had to go get him out of trouble or something?
Pretty much. I mean, I think family conflict between the chipmunks. There's often like Alvin having a crush on a girl, or his. There was one episode where Alvin and Dave was dating Alvin's teacher, and Alvin was competing with Dave over the love of his teacher. So some complex storylines there, some 90210 stuff. So yeah, it was mostly just kind of inter-family conflict. That was it. Nothing too heavy.
All right, going into the music segment here. The series' original music was done by Dean Elliott.
This is Dr. Wily, and I will destroy Mega Man while listening to Tooncast.
So what did you guys... everybody loves the theme song to Chipmunks. How did it hit you guys? Kevin, you go first.
I mean, I would definitely say it's one of the top 10 theme songs of the 80s, which it should be, because basically Chipmunks are, you know, that's what made the franchise, that's what made this whole thing, was the singing and the song, you know, the song quality. So, I mean, it's just a great song. You know, it introduces everybody, it gives you the gist of it, pretty catchy. You know, I don't really think it's as good as Gummy Bears or Heathcliff or The Furious City of the Gold, but it's definitely, you know, along with DuckTales and a few like that, it's one of the best theme songs in the 80s, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. What about you, Chris?
Yeah, I'd echo that. I liked it. I even liked the 90s Chipmunks at the Movies theme song, too. So they did a good job. They did a great job with the music overall, I think. So it's a great theme song.
Yes, yes, very much so. It's very, very catchy, and it's like once you get it into your head, you can't get it out of your head. So, not Copper Kid, thank God. Anyways, going into the legacy segment here. I believe this is listed on the IGN list. I don't know where it is. It's somewhere. It wasn't in the wiki when I got the wiki for the show. But as far as the home media release, some of the VHSs and DVD releases have the title card and others do not. No news yet on a possible future single-season DVD sets of the show's 8 complete seasons. Chris, what do you have on DVD of this show? Is it just individual episodes?
I've bought probably 10 DVDs, and each DVD has probably 4 or 5 episodes on it. The way it got started was the first one I got was the Christmas special on DVD. And that had, you know, the Chuck Jones Christmas special, and then it also had, you know, a few other tie-ins for the 80s series Christmas. And then they started releasing kind of holiday-specific DVDs like that. And then they started releasing kind of themes. I know they piggybacked on the release of the Star Trek movie with their Star Trek spoof from Chipmunks Go to the Movies. So a lot of those. I've got the Chipmunk Adventure on DVD, so I got a boatload. They did have a DVD release called the Alva Edition, which is 2-disc, probably 12 to 16 episodes, something like that. So that's probably the biggest set that they've released.
Oh, that's cool. Don't you have some fan story about a piece of Chipmunks merchandise, Chris?
I do. You know, my daughter, we rented the live action Alvin the Chipmunks from a couple years ago. She loved it. So when the Squeakquel came out, we're like, okay, we'll take her to see it. She loved it. McDonald's piggybacked on that and had the little toys that were just kind of little statuette type things, and they play music or they say something. And so we were going to McDonald's getting those, and we happened to miss the first week, which was the Alvin toy. Then every week was a different one. So we had everybody else, including two Jeanettes, one for her, one for me. So we missed Alvin, and so I was kind of bummed, and I'm a collector myself. So, I mean, that's stressing me out that we're missing the key component to this whole set. So this is the power of Twitter and podcasting in general. I just jumped on Twitter, and I said, hey, we need Alvin if anybody wants to help us out. And somebody just jumped right on it, and a fan of Chicken Pot Pod, and she mailed me next day from Sacramento, California, Alvin, to complete my daughter's set. So pretty awesome. And she did all that on her own dime, so very kind of her. And so I was very appreciative, so kind of neat.
Very
nice.
Very cool. Okay, so I don't think we're going to do any promos this week. I may put them after the outro, because we kind of need to get this rolling here. Final thoughts on Alvin and the Chipmunks. Kevin, you can go first.
Well, I mean... I kind of said it already, but I think the music was great and throughout the show. I like the playing off of the Chipettes versus the Chipmunks. I think there's something for everybody in here in one of the characters that you can find at least to relate to a little bit. I just think it was one of those great cartoons that you could watch over and over again, and it was basically on my entire childhood, so I saw it off and on throughout my childhood. And like I said before, it's something about those damn voices I just love. I love the songs. I remember having a cassette way back in the day that had songs like Witch Doctor and other Chipmunk songs, and I love those. I love the cartoon. And even though I break all my rules by saying this, because I hate almost all live-action remakes of cartoons from my childhood, this is one of them where I actually like. I stumbled upon it, the first one on... I don't know if it was on demand or on TV somewhere. I somehow watched it on TV. I didn't see it in the theater, but I watched it on TV, and I was like, man, this is pretty good, and I got sucked into it. I watched the whole thing. I haven't seen the Squeakquel yet, but I'm sure I'm going to like that as much, especially since the Chipettes look even better than they did in the cartoon version. But basically, I like everything that's Alvin in the Chipmunks. I like everything that has that voice, and it's just quality stuff, and you should check it out if you haven't ever seen it before.
Yeah, I gotta say, we didn't really talk about the movies, but I would much rather see Jason Lee as Dave than Steve Carell.
I would rather see my sock as Dave than Jason Lee. he's awful. He's got a new series coming out, and everything he's ever done, everything he will ever do, he's always going to be Earl, and that's just him.
He was Brody and Banky before Earl.
It's still Earl though.
Mike, I gotta bring this up too. I'm sorry to interrupt. I just remembered the Nancy Cartwright role before she was Bart Simpson, and it was Bright Eyes on Tom Puppy.
That's right.
Great cartoon, by the way.
That's right. Well,
anyway,
that episode was so long ago, I barely remember it. So, all right, plug time. Kevin, what's going on over at Behind the Voice Actors?
Just lots of voice compares. There's new ones going up every single day. The easiest way to basically be updated is to just become fan of our Facebook page. If you're a fan of our Facebook page, that's all we post is which new voice compares get posted each day, and then you can either check them out or pass on that day's voice compares, and it's just a good way to check things out. We've got a couple hundred fans on there, so join the club.
Yes. And Chris, what's going on with the chicken nuggets over there at Chicken Pot Pod?
We are cranking them out weekly. We got a lot going on with Chicken Pot Pod. We're also doing a comics spinoff that's on YouTube called CPP Comics. We do a wrestling podcast called The Folding Chair. So you can catch all that stuff, everything we do, at chickenpotpod.com. And so give it a go.
Thank you for joining us here on TuneCast. There are several ways to get in contact with us with feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. Join the forum, spreadeconempire.com/nexus. Leave our shows and Chicken Pot Pod feedback in iTunes, best way to help the shows. Follow us on Twitter, GCR and TuneCast, and TFG and Mike are mine. Kevin, what is your Twitter?
Bob K-Dog.
And Chris?
Chicken Pot Pod.
Kevin mentioned it earlier. You become a fan of all three of our site thingies. Search Geekcast Radio Network for us, Chicken Pot Pod for them, and Behind the Voice Actors. Call our voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name, 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of TuneCast and wish you will join us next time when we'll be reminiscing on SWATCast, the Radical Squadron, which I think Steve Megatron's going to join us for that. I don't know yet. It depends on if we dig him out of Pecan Court Michael's backyard. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Optimus Solo from BehindTheVoiceActors.com.
Chris Stapleton from ChickenPopPod.com.
Yes, thank you for joining us. Until next time.
Mortimer Mouse here, and when I'm not setting Mickey up, I like listening to TuneCast.
Good brain here. I like listening to TuneCast while trying to take over the world.